If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
From the heartland of America in West Central Indiana comes the New Wise Conservatism radio show with your host, Robert Garding, who is a proud traditional American. You are listening to Hour 1 of the show, where we cater to the truth and to the Constitution of this great country. We tell of the lies coming out of Washington and other important things Americans need to know. Heard through ConservativeNationMedia.com, here is your host from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world. And now, on with the show.
I actually kind of like that new song that I'm using for my entrance and my exit show for the show. It's from Lynyrd Skynyrd's latest album called Skynyrd Nation. And it's a really good show album, so from what I've been able to figure out. But we've got a decent show today. I had to work long hours this week, and also I had to work yesterday, so I didn't get any time to get my show together. So I've done it all today, and I've still got my final section, which I have not gotten done yet, but that one's probably going to have to be done right off the cuff. So, and I don't have any teleprompters or anything like that to go by, so this is going to be an interesting show. Hopefully it'll turn out good. From Political Jihad comes this one by Kenneth Roberts, and it was titled, When the Jihad Comes, Whose Side Will You Be On? There's a good reason to ask this question to nice Muslims. It invites Muslims to declare their true values and loyalties. When the jihad comes, whose side will you be on? Shoppers at Westgate Mall in Nairobi and Christian students in Nigeria have recently been killed because they had the wrong religion. What will our Muslim neighbors do when the jihadists come to our neighborhoods, schools, churches, and shopping centers in Europe and North America? Will Muslims protect non-Muslim neighbors from death, or will they side with the jihadists? A shopping mall jihad has already occurred in the U.S., but it was largely ignored. Already happened in America? Yes, an event similar to Westgate Mall attack occurred on the evening of February 12, 2007. A young Muslim man walked into the Trolley Square Mall in Salt Lake City with a pistol grip 12-gauge shotgun and a 38 caliber revolver and opened fire on shoppers, killing five and wounding four others, including a pregnant woman. The death toll at Trolley Square was higher than in the Boston Marathon bombing, but the killings were misattributed to insanity rather than jihad. Will jihadists attack shopping centers across America? Undoubtedly. They will do so because the Sunnah, the perfect example of Muhammad, it's in the Sunnah, the perfect example of Muhammad. In 627 AD, Muhammad beheaded 800 unarmed male civilians in Medina. In a single day, he did so in a market. Welcome to the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard here on Blog Talk Radio through Conservative Nation Media. I don't normally mention Blog Talk Radio too often on this show because we try to stick with Conservative Nation Media, so I didn't really mean to do that, but we're going here talking about Islam's dual allegiance. Muslims have two loyalties here, religious and political. Americans are loyal only to the Constitution. Well, at least the Americans that believe in America and love America. America has no state religion to adhere to because it's not part of the Constitution. But Islam has both. True Muslims must be loyal to the political act of jihad as well as to the religion of Islam. Now, that is something that Americans don't think about too often here, and I hope, we start thinking, we have to start adhering to this kind of an ideal, because if we got Muslims and there's a jihad coming, they have, by duty, have to adhere to both the political and the religious part of it. Islam is a religion as well as a military organization. Well, I don't believe it's a religion. I think it's more of a cult than anything else. This is not an opinion, but a decree of Muhammad. My brother and I came to the Prophet, and I requested him to take the Pledge of Allegiance from us for migration, he said. This was from the article that I was reading. Migration has passed away with its people. I asked, for what will you take the Pledge of Allegiance from us then? He, Muhammad, said, I will take the pledge for Islam and jihad, both. That's from Bukhari 452-208. Muhammad says, allegiance to Islam includes the political act of jihad. And that's where a lot of Americans can't get this, because in America, the separation of church and state has always kind of been there, even though it's really not in the Constitution. But it's separated out so that the church and the state are not part of one another. But in Islam, they are. Jihad is holy fighting against the kafirs. It is the personal duty of every Muslim. If a Muslim does not participate in jihad, he will die a hypocrite and burn in hell. That's what they're taught. Muhammad is the authority on Islam. Why don't Muslims denounce terrorists? Islam is harsh on hypocrites. Munafiqs are moderate Muslims. They give only lip service to Islam. Muhammad wanted to burn the Munafiqs to death in their homes for not participating in prayers or jihad. Nevertheless, participate or not, they must not hinder jihad by thought, word, or deed. Islam's Munafiqs sit back and look the other way while jihadists fight the kafirs and subdue them. When a Munafiq helps kafirs during jihad, he becomes a traitor to Islam. He is considered to be a kafir at war with Islam, so jihadists may kill him too. You see what's going on here? When jihad comes, a Munafiq is not neutral. He is on the side of jihad rather than on the side of the kafirs, which would be us. A Munafiq is silent when the jihadists knock on their non-Muslim neighbor's door. The reason for this silence is in the Quran 28:86. Never be a supporter of the disbelievers. Munafiqs can be reactivated in jihad. One of the surprising things about Islam is how non-practicing Muslims also often return to active service in jihad. Sometimes it only takes a personal contact or a rousing sermon to turn a non-practicing moderate Muslim into a jihadist. This is similar to the recruitment of young pacifists in a time of war. The Tsarnaev brothers were nice, moderate Muslims, and then they became religious jihadists. Do you see where this is going? Boston Munafiqs. How did Munafiqs behave during the Boston Marathon bombing when when Tsarnaev was about to be arrested? He called his non-practicing secular Muslim friends to dispose of incriminating evidence in his dorm room. They eagerly complied. When members of the Tsarnaev's mosque were asked about the two brothers, they kept silent about what they knew. When recruited, the Munafiqs acted on the side of jihad. This is all something that we have to realize here, folks. We are not fighting the typical people that we normally fight here. When jihad came to Westgate Mall in Nairobi, there were many Munafiqs shopping that day. Did those Munafiqs try to convince the jihadists that Islam is a religion of peace and to stop executions and tortures? No, they left hurriedly and let jihadists do their work of executing unarmed kafirs in the market. Westgate jihadists believed they were following Sunna. The Westgate Maimonides were not neutral. They took the side of jihad by doing nothing to stop it. Their silence gave approval to jihadic terrorism. When a fatwa was declared against the writer Salman Rushdie, ordinary British Muslims, expressed strong support for the blasphemy laws to punish critics of Islam. The musician known as Cat Stevens was asked if he would go to do a demonstration to burn an effigy of the author Salman Rushdie. "I would have hoped that it'd be the real thing," he replied. "Furthermore, if Mr. Rushdie turned up at his doorstep looking for help, I might ring somebody who might do more damage to him than he would like. I'd try to phone the Ayatollah Khomeini and tell him exactly where this man is." In his own words, Cat Stevens, a.k.a. Yusuf Islam, would take the side of jihad if the opportunity came. Moderate Muslims like Yusuf Islam know which side they are on. They are not on the side of us because jihad is not peace train at all. Do not think they are going to do this for our, do you think that they are going to do this for our benefit? Cuthbertson asked rhetorically. The majority of the House representatives oppose the compromise. Okay, well, that's kind of like wrong here, I think. Yeah, I think so. But we, you know, this whole thing that we've got going here is really kind of a sad state of affairs because, you know, people here in the United States seem to think that what is going on here is, you know, just a typical religion that we all know and a lot of us belong to. But this isn't, you know, it's like, you know, I'm a Lutheran and the Lutheran religion and the American government are not one and the same. They are not ruled by one another. They, you know, that kind of thing. But with Islam, there is the difference. You know, their religion is ruled by Islam. If you are a Muslim and a jihad is called, then you are required, Islam, to take part in this jihad. And if you don't, then you need to go away and not hinder it in any way, shape, or form. Because if you do, then you will be like the people that they are trying to kill or get rid of, and they will get rid of you. Simple as that. And that's just exactly the way that it goes on this one here. America is still the freest country on earth, and those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedom away, and our constitutional expert, Matthew Opliski, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution community with Matthew Opliski, Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Had a little section between my next part here, and it didn't print up, so I can't remember exactly what it was, but we... have to realize here, folks, that once we allow our government to start taking our freedoms away, then we will see them doing so in a more and more brazen way, if you want to look at it in that way. I remember back in the time before Reagan that, you know, if government officials wanted to pull themselves into an area where they want to do something that's against the Constitution, they would do it in tiny bits and pieces so that the people really would not notice what was going on. And they did it in small increments so that we wouldn't know. And if they got away with that, then they would move on to the next little step. And they would keep those increments so small that people would think that they were doing things to make people make laws that would help people be better for themselves in everyday life. But what we have got going right now is a government that has gotten away with this incremental stuff for so long that now they are working totally on just pushing everything they can as quickly as they can, as hard as they can, to heck with what the people think, because thinking now that they have gotten away with what they've been doing for over the last 100 or so years, they've been very patient. And now we've got Obama, who is a radical, there's no better word for it. He's a radical jihadist. He has declared jihad on America. And what better place to push this jihad than from the White House as the president of this nation? Now, he started doing this in his first term, which I haven't heard anybody use this term on this yet, but I think it's coming. But he got away with the things that he was doing in his first term, and when we made the mistake of re-electing him again, he decided that what he was given was a mandate to do what he wanted to do. And because of this mandate that our so-called dear leader now has, he is planning on doing everything that he possibly can to destroy this nation, and we have given him that opportunity to do so because we voted him into office again. We will be right back after these messages.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Hey, everybody. Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise. Watch Recipes for Disaster at FoodSafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
From Forbes.com comes this one titled, President Obama Stopped Damning the Art Achievers for Their Virtues. The status are swarming, energized by the cry, inequality is unfair. Behind this preposterous and victorious, vicious campaign lies a doctrine known as egalitarianism. Its philosophical source is naturally a Harvard professor, John Rawls, who took 40 years for his ponderous ivory tower theories to filter down through the culture. But now inequality is unfair is blared by every anti-capitalist from President Obama to the Pope, from the new mayor of New York City to Occupy Wall Street rabble, and of course by the New York slimes. Egalitarianism is not the advocacy of equality of rights. It is true that everyone has the same rights, whether a government recognizes them or not, because those rights are based on the nature of man. The same one standard applies to every human being. What the egalitarians demand is not equality of rights, but equality of condition. Not one, they say, should be better off than another. It is pointless to try to distinguish inequality of outcomes from inequality of opportunity. There is no more right to equal opportunity than to equal outcomes. An American child of wealthy parents has more opportunity than a Cambodian child of destitute parents. Does that mean the American parents must sacrifice their children's future to increasing the opportunities open to Cambodian children? Yes, say the egalitarians. No, say the founding fathers to the equivalent question in their time. And that no is why America is the wealthiest nation in the world. Only the protection of individual rights unleashes the productive energies of the wealth creators on every level of ability. That's the lesson not only of American history, but of more recent rise of Pacific Rim countries and still more recent amazing growth of India and China caused by their turn away from communism, socialism, and other forms of statism. The gap in the condition of the rich and the poor, says Obama, has widened. The top 10% no longer takes in one-third of our income. It now takes half. The language. He first describes income as being taken in and then slides into the describing income as taken. The top 10% now takes half. Half of what? The response would be, well, of the nation's income, of course. And thus, what began as a simple statistical calculation comes out on the other side as pure communism. And welcome to everybody who's coming into the show. I'm glad you guys are here. I'm hoping that this is going to be a good one because I was really just kind of, I had to work long hours this week, like I said, and I didn't get any time to put my show together until this morning, so it kind of might suffer for that. I hope it don't. But in Obama's world, if Farmer Fred harvests 4 pumpkins and Farmer John harvests 2, Fred has taken 2/3 of the harvest for himself. He should be ashamed. It's unfair. It's a crisis. Something must be done. It challenges the very essence of who we are as a people, says the president. What's more, that's more of the collectivism, who we are as a people. What happened to the who we are as individuals, or what our founding ideals are? Those concepts have to go because who we are as individuals are people of different degrees of intelligence, ability, and moral virtue. And America's founding ideals have to go because all men are created equal does not mean all men must be kept equal. The Declaration explains the kind of equality it champions. All men are created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Or as the man who wrote these words also said, the mass of mankind has not been born with saddles on their backs, nor a favored few booted and spurred ready to ride them. Yet the saddling and riding on top of earners is exactly what Obama and the egalitarians proposed. If Jefferson were alive today, he would have to rephrase it. The few who excel have not been born with saddles on their backs, nor the masses booted and spurred ready to ride them. Slavery, involuntary servitude, is an abomination whether the slave masters are few or many. A man's life is his own. He has the right to his own life. But Obama continues, whereas in the past the average CEO made about 20 to 30 times the income of the average worker, today's CEO now makes 273 times more. Now the left has made creative statistics into an art form, but let's assume for the moment that today's CEOs do not make much higher multiple of the average worker's pay. And let's assume with Obama and the left that this is due to the free market, not the government intervention. Then in justice, only two responses are possible. Great job, CEOs, and shape up the average workers. The collectivist common pot mentality with the left does not permit recognition of one simple fact. Someone pays the CEO's salary. The salaries of CEOs are not expensed by the government, nor do they seize it by an armed assault on Fort Knox, to whatever extent government cronyism and government bailouts are responsible. The problem is statism, not the free market. So why are individual investors paying what they do for the services of the CEO? That's easy. They're paying them the way they do because the CEO knows how to handle what he's doing, and he does what he does well. You bring in somebody who is working to do what, you know, they do. If they don't know how to do it, then how long are they going to hold on to those jobs as the CEO? There is the reason why the CEOs are being paid more than regular workers, because they are paid more to do more. And that's run the companies, run the businesses, make sure that they don't go bankrupt, make sure that they are doing the right things. And because all of this is going on, the CEOs are rewarded more for doing more and for being bosses over all the other people. And that's essentially what the free market is all about. But Obama thinks that the free market needs to be gotten rid of. He thinks that the Constitution needs to be gotten rid of. He thinks that the Bill of Rights needs to be gotten rid of, all because it doesn't keep people equal in everything they do. Next, you'll be hearing him trying to make sure that nobody has more talents than anybody else. And that's the direction that they're trying to head. And this will never work, because I may have a talent for doing graphic arts and printing and things like that. Somebody else may not. But that somebody else who doesn't has a talent for things I cannot do. That is what makes us diverse. That's what makes us a great people. And that's what makes us this country great, because we have a system that works to keep everybody working. Now, if everybody was great, you know, enough to be a CEO and could do all of that but couldn't do the other things, where would the workers come from? That's just the way that most of the countries in this world work. You know, they figure that everybody is below them. If they're, you know, if they're like the leaders will figure that everybody is below them, whether they are or not, doesn't matter. They have the money, they have the power, the rules, and they do. America, on the other hand, does it a little bit different than the rest of the world. And it's because of that little bit of difference, actually it's a pretty big difference, really, but it's because of that difference that has made America the greatest nation that this world has ever seen, and also the richest nation. But now we've got a president who figures that since America is the richest nation, America needs to be brought down to its knees and should be giving all of its hard-earned money to other countries who are suffering because they haven't done the same thing. And we got a discussion in the chat room about red stripe beer. That's interesting, to say the least. We will return after these messages with more on this one.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school. If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at UnitedWay.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
We are developing airports and hangar number 4. A lonely little biplane left whose name was Evermore. As working days are over, no more would he sail.
Okay, I forgot to do a live read here that I was supposed to, so I'll just do it now. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot, to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner and join the conservative revolution where America always wins. Because they think it's profitable for them to do so, they would love to pay less. And I'm going back to the same thing about the starting after that question, so why do individual investors paying, why are individual investors paying what they do for the services of the CEO? The article that I was looking at went on that one. It says, because they think it's profitable to them to do so. They would love to pay less, as much less as possible, but a little thing called supply and demand means they can't pay less. If Joe, the average worker, could be hired to do the CEO's work just as well at 1/270th of the cost, do you think that he wouldn't be installed as the executive in the executive suite? If one of the sharks on Shark Tank says Kevin O'Leary is paying a huge salary to someone, there's a reason. The reason is O'Leary's judgment of the value added by the CEO. But even more importantly, the CEO's salary is a matter of contract between private parties. It's no one else's business. When I pay my cleaning lady, or what I pay my cleaning lady, is none of the public's business. The same is true of what business owners pay any of their employees, from the boy in the mailroom to the CEO. On executive pay, I would say to Obama, mind your own business, except he has no business. He does have a job, a critically important one, to protect the rights of the Americans against their violation by aggressors, domestic and foreign. But he's not earning his pay. What would happen to a CEO if he was doing the kind of job that Obama is doing? Under egalitarianism, individual rights are the first things that must go. The egalitarians say that the successful have no right to the products of their effort. They think property rights are a myth. You can't build that. You didn't build that. You have no right to own it, logically enough, on their premises. I call the inequality campaign preposterous and vicious. I'll start with why it's preposterous. No, I'm not going to rehearse the familiar refrain, we're all different, that's true, but it doesn't get to the essential. The essential is inequality is morally irrelevant. Inequality is not unfair, nor is it fair. It has no moral significance at all. Equality versus inequality is a comparison. It does not concern the condition of the individual, but his relationship to others around him. Does he have more or less than they do? The unasked question is, why does that matter? How would it help the man who has less if others also had less? Suppose that a man has an income of $10,000 a year, but others have an income of $100,000 a year. Would the poor man be better off by moving to a land where everyone only had $10,000 a year? If one man can afford only one room apartment, while others live in mansions, would his problem be solved if everyone were brought down to his level? That would be equality of condition, but it would not solve any problem. What would never occur to the inequality haters is a simple fact. It is to the interest of the poor man that those around him be as wealthy as possible. A man for purely selfish reasons should want to live in the richest possible society. Surrounded by billionaires, a man of modest ability can make a good living as a chauffeur, a cleaner of their swimming pools, a caretaker of vacation home of one of them, none of which would be possible if all were as poor as he. The existence of the 1% is a great benefit to the 99%. Their elimination would not help the 99%, but hurt them. Contrary to collectivism, one man's ability is a value to all other men. A rational individualist hope for the greatest possible success of others and relishes the prospect of others who can achieve more than he. An illustration, here's a fantasy example, example, you rub a magic lamp and a genie appears. He informs you that you must choose between living in one of two entirely separate worlds. In one world, call it Lothar, everyone is stupid, clumsy, ugly, ignorant, lazy. on Blothar, you would be by far the smartest, most talented, attractive, knowledgeable, ambitious, etc. But you would not, but you would not change. You would have no more of these values than you didn't do now. The only difference would be the others you are compared to. On the other world, Futura, you would also remain just as you are now, but everyone else around you would be much smarter, more talented, etc. Which would you choose? On Blothar, you would be a superstar in a pool of plods, wimps, ignoramuses, and fools. On Futura, you would be on the bottom of all the scales, a relative nobody, and a world in a world of gods and goddesses. On Blothar, your superior ability would raise you to the top of the economic pyramid. You would have the best of everything, but that means the best that other producers can offer. The biggest mud hut, the largest array of animal skins. On Futura, your inferior ability would leave you on the bottom of the economic pyramid. You will have to settle for a second-hand, dented matter transporter, and you would have to stop your education at the PhD level and get a job as a mere assistant scientist working a full 25-hour week just to be able to afford a month's vacation on one of the less fashionable planets. On Blothar, since medical science was unknown, your childhood would be racked by disease, and you would die in a plague at 25. On Futura, you would live to the age of 350 and do so not only in perfect health, but in a body tailored to your desires by genetic engineering. Ayn Rand nailed it when she blasted John Rawls' egalitarian tract when it first appeared. If you wish to know the actual motive behind the egalitarian theories, behind all their maudlin slogans, mawkish pleas, and ponderous volumes of verbal rat traps, if you wish to grasp the enormity of the smallness of spirit for the sake of which they seek to immolate mankind, it can only be presented in a few lines. When a man thinks he's good, that's when he's rotten. Pride is the worst of all sins, no matter what he's done. If a man knows what he's done, if a man knows what he has done is good, then he ought to apologize for it. To whom? To those who haven't done it. Atlas shrugged. Please bear in mind that the next time you hear someone railing against inequality. ConservativeNationMedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday. So make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. I was reading from Facebook on Wednesday on my new iPhone 5 and noticed a little notice that made me laugh, but it also shows just how this country thinks en masse, with the exception of a few when it comes to Obama. And it went like this. A teacher asked her sixth grade class how many of them were Obama fans. Not really knowing what an Obama fan is, but wanting to be liked by the teacher, all the kids raised their hands except for little Johnny. Yeah, I know, it's one of those little Johnny jokes, but bear with me. The teacher asked little Johnny why he has decided to be different again. Little Johnny said, because I'm not an Obama fan. The teacher continued and asked, why aren't you a fan of Obama? Johnny said, because I'm a Republican. The teacher asked him, why is a Republican? Little Johnny answered, well, my mom's a Republican, my dad's a Republican, so I'm a Republican. Annoyed by his answer, the teacher asked, if your mom were a moron and your dad an idiot, what would that make you? With a big smile spreading across his face, little Johnny replied, that would make me an Obama fan. Now, I had to laugh at that one, but the sad part of this is it's totally true when it comes to the way people fawn all over this man, even though he is destroying this nation. Time that this country realized that America is now going down in flames And when they hear someone ask, is it Obama's fault, they should hear the answer, yes, it's his administration. It has been his presidency for 5 years. It's his problem. He is the one leading us to ruin. But we never hear this, do we? We always hear, oh, it's Bush's fault. Bush did this. Bush did that. And it always seems to go this route, mainly because the Democrats don't want to be perceived as the ones who are causing the problems. And because they don't want to be perceived as the ones causing the problems, then they are the first ones to blame the other side, whether the other side has been totally out of power for years now. It doesn't matter to them. The only time that it matters is when things aren't going quite as well for the other side, and the other side blames them for it. Then that can't be done. But I just looked in the chat room and saw a compliment on my discussion. But, you know, the thing that really catches me on this is the fact that we have so many people who just sit there and fawn all over Obama because he is our first black president. Now, my problem comes with this one. Now, if I was black and I had become the nation's first black president, my presidency would be under the assumption that since I was the first black president, I was going to be the best president that I could possibly ever be or that anybody ever had, because I would want that next black president that would come along to have something good to fall back on so that he would know just what to do to be another good president. But that's not how our president now thinks. He figures that he is the first in everything. He wants to be the first black president. He wants to be the first to destroy this nation. He wants to be the first to destroy our Constitution. He wants to be the first to destroy anything that we hold dear. And that's just the way that he thinks. He doesn't think that America is a great country. America only got the way it is because we stepped on everyone else. And because we stepped on everyone else to get where we're at, then we need to drop on our knees and become slaves to everyone so we can make it up to them. No, that is not the way it goes. And we will be right back after these messages, hopefully.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medication, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help, but so far so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is, because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org, because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council. Been looking for an online gathering place, you know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people. Like you, sign up today at TeaPartyCommunity.com.
See you too, the kids and an old hound dog. If you live in the Georgia Pines, and are going to be tall with the red dirt and the time.
From the Daily Roll Call comes this one, simply entitled, "I'm a Hater." Really? Which kind of shows us, if we really look, just the direction that the government officials of the liberal slant are leading us. Here's what Kathy had to say. So if those that disagree with Islamists are haters, Islamophobes and bigots, what does that make all the trash talk coming out of Remzia Surleyman's best friend, Drost Kokoy, deem her to be? It seems that Kokoy has a huge chip on her shoulder, and it's quite frankly someday will get knocked off, and rightfully so. She claims to be an activist for Muslims and Kurds, but what is more apparent is that she is just a racist. Drost Kokoy is a racist. She considers herself brown, but I would say she is just dirty white. Talk about haters. She hates everything about white folks and America. Perhaps she should be reminded of the white folks that took her and her family in when they first came here. Perhaps she should be reminded it's mostly white liberals that embrace her and her friend Remzia, as seen here in the In Focus magazine that did a short column on the ACLU award ceremony. Drost had this to say in her Twitter account. She said, "Remzia and I are all up in these rich white folks magazine, preferably the most offensive to a white couple that cared for Kokoy and her family as they arrived in our country," was this post that talked about how they were raised by white grandparents. There was also another tweet by this person, Kokoy, that said, "I get antsy when I'm surrounded by white people all day. Where are POC and the key decision-making spaces? I mean, besides Uncle Tom." I will tell you all just what is wrong with this country as it is heading now. You will you tell the truth, especially if you are a conservative or a Republican, then you get slammed for it. But when you lie or you come down on someone's color, if you're a liberal, and everything is all right with the world, and no matter who it offends. The sad part about it is that conservatives hardly ever claim that they are offended. And when they do, they get jumped on for that, too. The only ones who are allowed to be offended in this country, according to the liberal left, and then be able to say something about it, are the lefties who cry and moan about it until the offending party is taken care of, usually in a way that destroys them, okay? And that's just the way that they seem to work all the time. The politically correct mentality is what is destroying this country. Right is no longer right, but what is considered to be right by the liberal point of view, whether that view is a complete lie or something else, that is what is considered the truth anymore. And the actual truth, that is one of the casualties of this administration and the liberal left in this country. It continues because all of the Republicans who could do something about it don't have the backbone for it. More tweets from Ms. Kokoy go as this: "Lady, I'm having luck with is late, so I'm in listening to these white folks beside me. Life is hard when you can't choose where to vacation. Or, but when I get racially profiled by a white person, he don't give a shit what bubble I filled into my forms, he sees color. Color ain't white. Or it's confusing because as refugees, we were told bubbling white, unquote, on forms. And now I realize that's the way to keep the white numbers high. There is only one thing to say here. The next time Miss Kolkoy and her friends call anyone a hater, bigot, or Islamophobe, remind her that she is a proven racist. There is nothing more to say about this, is there? The Democrats want everything to go their way, and if there is any, and I mean anything, said today or tomorrow that could go against their plans for a liberal utopia, then it must be gotten rid of before it can get to a position where it could stop them in their ideals of taking this country over and remaking it in their image. They do not like America as founded. They do not like the Constitution. They do not like the people's rights. They do not like the idea that the Constitution guarantees us our rights to bear arms. All these things could spell the end of the gravy train for them, and they want that gravy train to continue, you know, like forever. They are used to living off of someone else's sweat and toil. They don't want to do, you know, and they don't want to stop that. They want everyone else to continue to do what they can to continue living the life that they have become very accustomed to living. For them, there is no other way to it. But for us, there is. There is, and there is the rub in the mixture that is making them irrational in almost everything they do. They are irrational when it comes to the Constitution of this country. They are irrational when it comes to our right to bear arms. They are right to our rights to do what we want in our lives as long as it has something that, you know, stays on the right side of the law. And there's the other one that nobody seems to mention either. They know that we follow the law. So what are they doing? They are changing the law to make it so that the things that were legal not long ago are now becoming illegal. So we have to change to their way of doing things or become outlaws. Well, my idea on this is the laws of this country were put there for a reason, and that is to keep this country a lawful nation that follows the laws. The laws that liberals bring up are not for that. Everyone as lawless as possible and keep us heading in that direction. The left, and Lady Michelle in the chat room says, she said it, the left isn't irrational, it's insane. I think that the insanity causes them to be irrational. And, you know, insanity keeps you from knowing what is rational and what isn't. And, of course, with them being as insane as they are, they have no clue the difference is between being rational and being irrational. You know, I don't really want to come down on anybody for their beliefs, but the problem with a lot of the people who are leading us today, their beliefs are destroying the foundation of America. And if we don't come down on that and stop it, then we are part and parcel of the problem. And yes, I was looking back in the chat room again, moving forward, said, I hope you will support Operation American Spring. And yes, I do. I am already doing things to help in that aspect. I belong to several patriot groups, and we've been discussing stuff like that. And me living out in the middle of nowhere to the west of Indianapolis. I have the ability to be able to go out and talk to the people if I want to without fear of having somebody get mad and shoot me, which I'm very happy about. But it also makes it a little harder for me to get to the correct people that I need to, but that's just a stepping stone that I will work to overcome, and I know that I will. We are at the end of the first hour, so we will be right back with the second hour of the New Wise Conservatism radio show heard here on conservativenationmedia.com, and we will be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
It's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and the station.
Heartland of America, broadcasting from West Central Indiana, comes the New Wise Conservatism radio show. I am your host, Robert Garding, heard from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, working to let everyone know why the real law of the land and the Constitution of the United States are against what Obama wants. You are listening to Hour 2 of the show, broadcast to you through ConservativeNationMedia.com. And now here again is your host and the rest of the show.
A local news station brings viewers inside one Pennsylvania company, and this was down in Pennsylvania, of course, as the employees there learned about their new health care plans under Obamacare. Look at the numbers, says the reporter of two employees. Jeff and Dave used to have a $1,250 deductible. Since Obamacare went into effect, it's now jumped 60% to $2,000. There's nothing compared, that's nothing compared to Brian, Christy, and Judy, who have kids. They're going to pay twice that, $4,000. The reporter adds that co-pays are being increased too. I don't know how President Obama thinks he's helping us because we can't afford this. We can't afford to pay these co-pays, to pay these deductibles on what we're making, says one of the workers. Another worker adds, they call it affordable health care plan. There's nothing affordable about it. I can't afford it. And here's the audio on that one. This is close to about 4 minutes, but it's really worth listening to. This is a good one.
At a collision in car care, it's a frigid 2 degrees inside. Gary Simonetta's employees are getting ready for a pretty heavy meeting Gary has been dreading for months.
What I have here is the benefit sheet from last year, what you were on in 2013.
Charles Moore has handled the company's group health insurance for 19 years.
Here is the new plan that we had to switch to that takes into account the Obamacare regulations.
As our cameras roll, 47-year-old Dave, who's single, Judy, a 53-year-old mother of one, 39-year-old Brian, who also has one child, 48-year-old mother of two, Christy, and Jeff, who's single and 42, all find out for the first time how the Affordable Care Act will affect their medical coverage and how much they're going to pay for it.
Jeff, there's yours. I just folded these up because they are private numbers for everybody. It's what your new monthly premium is going to be for this plan.
Last year's 6% premium increase has now exploded fivefold to an average 32% jump, and that is just for starters.
That 32% increase includes increasing the deductible as well to try and get something modestly priced.
Look at the numbers. Jeff and Dave used to have a $1,250 deductible. Since Obamacare went into effect, it's now jumped 60% to $2,000. That's nothing compared to Brian, Christy, and Judy, who have kids. They're going to pay twice that, $4,000.
This was the best option we could find.
Copays are up too.
Where it used to be your primary care doctor copay of $20, it's now going to be $40.
Since Obamacare went into effect, pediatric dental and vision exams are covered as a bonus for Brian, Christy, and Judy, but not for Jeff and Dave. Generic drugs are also significantly cheaper. We asked each staffer what they think of their new deal.
Deductible is terrible. I mean, how many people actually can come up with that deductible money if they get into the emergency room?
Dave's monthly premium goes up modestly by about $50. Christy, though, not so lucky. Her monthly premium jumps $260. That's 30%.
$895 a month for health insurance is coming out of my pocket. That's a house payment for most people.
Brian actually saves $77 a month, but that $4,000 family deductible,
it's going to be a pretty big hit in the pocket.
And Jeff is in the same boat.
They call it the affordable health plan. There's nothing affordable about it. I can't afford it.
His new premium is only $28 more a month, but Jeff says he's going to have to suck it up if he ever gets hurt because that deductible is just too much.
Wake up, America. This isn't acceptable. It's not acceptable.
But it's 53-year-old Judy who gets hit the worst.
What's your income?
From $929 to $1,316. A month.
That's a 42% increase added to her new $4,000 deductible.
How do you add all that together?
How are you going to do that?
I don't know.
Back in the shop,
we're going to put replaces rad support.
Owner Gary Simonetta has his own worries. His monthly premium just jumped $584. That's 63%.
The small businesses are the heart of America. So how's that going to affect everybody? It's not good.
Broker Charles Moore agrees.
One size does not fit all in medical insurance. And unfortunately, that's one of the big downsides to the Affordable Care Act.
Downside that leaves Judy wondering if she can ever afford now to get sick.
I don't know how President Obama thinks that he's helping us. Because we can't afford this. We can't afford to pay these copays, to pay these deductibles on what we're making.
You know, a lot of those people sound like they were on the verge of crying. But you know, when it comes to the deductibles that people are starting to have to pay because of Obamacare, they're starting to realize that if they voted for this, they're screwed too. It doesn't matter, you know, whether they voted for Obama or not, it doesn't matter at all because they are being screwed also. So that's coming for America if we don't do something pretty soon to change things. This one, coming from The Blaze, just hours after he stormed out of President Obama's State of the Union address on Tuesday, Representative Steve Stockman, a Republican of Texas, announced that he's considering filing articles of impeachment against the president. Representative Steve Stockman of Texas participates in a mock swearing-in ceremony with Speaker of the House Representative, and the picture showed him, that was the caption under the picture, but he says, "I'm considering filing articles of impeachment against Barack Obama," Stockman announced on a website backing his Senate run. "You see, I walked out of Obama's State of the Union address last night, and I watched this happen. I thought it was just absolutely great." And added that Obama's defiantly vowed not only to radically expand the reach of government from cradle to grave, but to smash the Constitution's restrictions on government power while doing it. The Texas congressman explained that he left the president's speech early because he was upset after hearing how the president is further abusing his constitutional powers. "I think I could not bear to watch as he continued to cross the clearly defined boundaries of the constitutional separation of powers," Stockman said in a statement released shortly after the president finished his address. "Needless to say, I am deeply disappointed in the tone and content of tonight's address." Stockman accused the president of promising to break his oath of office and begin enacting his own brand of law through executive decree. "This is a wholesale violation of his oath of office and disqualifying offense," he said, adding that the president has steadfastly refused to admit his policies have failed. He continued accusing the president of advocating a blueprint for perpetual poverty. Not long after releasing the anti-SOTU statement, Stockman raised the issue of impeachment. He said Obama defiantly vowed not only to radically expand the reach of government from cradle to grave, but to smash the Constitution's restrictions on government power while doing it. His goal is to eliminate our constitutional republic, he said Wednesday. Last year I said I would consider impeachment as a last resort to stop Obama's abuse of power, and quite frankly, we're running out of options. Stockman's impeachment threat comes shortly after his return from an unexplained absence, which kept him from voting in the House and campaigning against Senator John Cornyn of Texas. He claimed Monday he wasn't missing in action, but that he was busy partaking in a House-sanctioned international trip. However, the House Foreign Affairs Committee said that Stockman's overseas trip began January 17th and ended on Monday. He didn't cast a single vote between January 9th and 28th. Further, every other lawmaker on the international trip managed to participate in House votes prior to leaving the United States. The Texas congressman missed a total of 17 straight votes, including the vote to approve a $1 trillion omnibus spending bill. Well, it seems that maybe that he didn't vote for that because he didn't agree with it either, you think? But, you know, all I can say about this with Steve Stockman is, you know, and him walking out, and I've got a couple of phone calls here that are with just the 1-1-1 numbers, and like I said before, I've been burned a bunch of times on those. So if somebody who is calling with those numbers says something in the chat room as to what they are there for, I will answer the phone calls, but otherwise I won't. Americans everywhere can learn something from this, and I kept thinking when I heard about this that it's fantastic that he walked out of the speech or the rehashing of failed policies by Obama. But my sadness came when I realized that none of the rest of the Republicans walked out, which they should have. When Obama started out on this stupid State of the Union lie fest, all of the Republican senators and congressmen should have gotten up and followed Steve Stockman out. And to top that all off, they all should be signing that petition for impeachment without any hesitation at all. So now my question to everyone is why do we keep voting all these moronic people back into office when they work overtime to show us all that they are not there for us? They are only there for the fame and the money that they can get as they do their own work in Washington, D.C. to make sure that we all know this country is heading in the wrong direction. What is the problem with following the Constitution and the law of the land? I ask that often, and I will continue to ask it till we start asking our unrepresentatives in Washington what they are doing. They need to know this too, and apparently they don't. It is time that we, the people, started a campaign against these so-called representatives and working hard to find a good grassroots candidate to take these unrepresentatives out of office for a good someone who would be there to do what the Constitution says, don't you think? I know there are many out there who would be a better person in office than most in Washington, D.C. are right now. Our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman Duke Brooks calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hangar flying at Radio Free America with Duke Brooks, Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. From the latest issue of Newsmax magazine and for February comes a cover story entitled Fixing Washington, Ted Cruz Thinks He Can Do Just That. So I turned to page 46, and it turned out to be a full spread across page 46 and 47, where the two-page spread starting the story with a big photo of Kansas Senator Ted Cruz and a caption in huge letters stating, Ted Cruz Shakes Up Washington, written by David A. Patton. I will have to get back to that after a few minutes because I overshot my bounds on that last one, and I'm at the 15-minute break. So I will go ahead and do that break right now, and I will be right back.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it. Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Hi, this is Mark Anthony Farad, recording artist, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Music is one of the most important things in my life, but nothing is more important than life itself. So choose a designated driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
How long do you think
the public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person. I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, conservativenationmedia.com.
Oh, me, oh, my, oh, you, whatever. see I could know. The answer to my question is it yes or is it no? Does your Judy come lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight? And if your mother says no to it, do you?
From the latest issue of Newsmax magazine for February, which I just got in the mail the other day, it shows a cover story titled Fixing Washington, Ted Cruz Thinks He Can Do Just That. So I turned to pages 46 and 47 with a two-page spread starting out the story as a big photo of Senator Ted Cruz, the caption with the huge letters, Cruz Shakes Up Washington, written by David Patton. To fully appreciate the havoc wrought by Ted Cruz's abrupt arrival in Washington, D.C., flashback to slightly more than a year ago. At that point, Cruz has never held elective office, something that we need to look into before voting more career politicians into office. He was not a national leader in the conservative movement. The established political elites in Washington, D.C. did not consider him a bane to their existence. Now they do. And he certainly was not a political GOP presidential candidate possibility for 2016. What a difference a year makes. Ted Cruz crossed the Potomac in November of 2012, elected as a junior senator from Texas. His impact on the national political scene has been so immense that one Capitol Hill newspaper named him 2013 Person of the Year. He is frequently mentioned as a contender for the GOP's presidential nomination and regularly takes on the Washington political establishment as an outspoken advocate of conservative principles. A key moment in Cruz's nearly unparalleled ascension to national political power took place on August 28, 2012. Having won the Republican primary for the Senate seat, Cruz was in the middle of a general election campaign. Now the campaign, a moan of middling stature, a man of middling stature, rounded shoulders and unique intellect, was making his first national TV appearance on the Republican Party nominating convention in Tampa, Florida. Sporting a blue suit, dark blue suit, powder blue tie, and his knob of a chin glistening under the bright lights, Cruz stood alone on stage without so much as a podium to hide behind. It was one of those moments that makes or breaks a political career. Cruz talked about liberty, using as an example the 1835 Battle of Gonzales, a skirmish that led to the Alamo and ultimately Texas's independence. It was all thanks to a fractured mob of unruly Texican settlers who decided one day that they'd had enough. Kind of sounds what's going on today, too. When General Santa Anna demanded that they hand over their guns, the cannon that guarded their city, Cruz declared, they responded with the immortal cry, "Come and take it." With its echo of Gladstone flag menacing defiance and Second Amendment of absolutism, that line predictably fired up the convention floor, especially the rowdy Lone Star delegation waving Stetsons. 17 months later, Washington, D.C. now knows that battle cry was more than just an applause line to Raphael Edward Ted Cruz. Today, when his aides usher you into Cruz's office in the Dirksen Senate office building on Constitution Avenue, the first thing you see to the right of his desk is a large, rustic, framed flag that appears almost too primitive for the nation office's mahogany furnishings. It depicts the silhouette of a lone cannon beneath a single white star. The flag's motto declares, "Come and take it." Cruz explains that the flag, a replica of the banner raised by the rebellious Texas settlers nearly two centuries ago, was a gift from supporters after his victory, which the Washington Post dubbed as the biggest upset in 2012. And, of course, you know, the liberals didn't like that one, but "Come and take it" could be Senator Cruz's unapologetic cri de guerre in Washington, his challenge to a Congress that he routinely bashes as more attentive to special interests than to ordinary people living beyond the Beltway. The paradigm has shifted, he constantly warns his colleagues. He says it's like 1980 all over again when a fed-up nation dumped Jimmy Carter for Ronald Reagan to begin a generation-long embrace of conservatism. References to Reagan are frequent and reverential. I said that wrong, but by Cruz, and it is clear that the late president's influence is substantial. The people who are reluctant to take a bold conservative stands right now are making a mistake, Cruz said. A look around the office shows Cruz, 43, has brought several things with him from Texas, a copy of his daughter's favorite book, Green Eggs and Ham, which he quoted from in his filibuster, if you remember right, rests on the coffee table. Then there are the black ostrich blue sheath cowboy boots that Cruz wears every day on the Senate floor. Cruz calls them his argument boots because he grew accustomed to wearing them to important court hearings when he would argue his clients' cases. He loves them so much that he's had them resold four or five times now. Cruz also seems to have brought something else to the nation's capital, a little of that don't mess with Texas attitude. Maybe he's doing that so that we can get politicians in Washington who will say again, don't mess with the USA. Maybe that will happen again. Who knows? But I know that this man is one of the bright firebrands of the Republicans and the conservative rank and file in Washington, D.C., and the United States as a whole. But and this is a fight that we find ourselves in to save this great nation and bring our fire and greatness back so we can again enjoy our freedoms as they were originally meant to be enjoyed. And that was an article I found in Newsmax, but also from Newsmax I found another one, two prominent Southern California Democrats, State Senator and former Los Angeles Comptroller, have jumped into the race to fill a congressional seat being vacated by the retirement of veteran U.S. Representative Harry Waxman. And I heard this, and I said, it's about dang time. Several others are regarded as potential contenders for a highly coveted and safely Democratic seat in a campaign that political experts predict will be congested, competitive, and very costly. It's going to be a cast of thousands, with Gary said Gary South, a longtime Southern California Democrat strategist, noting that while the district has been reconfigured several times, Waxman held the seat for 40 years before retiring at the age of 74, and that Congress has no term limits, which it should have, by the way. So if a Democrat wins, and a Democrat surely will win, that person can probably stay there for a lifetime if they mind their P's and Q's, he said. Ted Lieu, state Senate district, covered more than 80% of the 33rd California congressional district represented by Waxman, who also and who touts his humble roots as a Taiwanese immigrant, announced his candidacy on Friday. Ex-controller Wendy Kruel, who also served as a Los Angeles City Council member and finished second in last year's mayoral race, declared her intention to run on Monday, but not after Waxman revealed he was stepping down at the year's end after 40 years of Congress. Lieu and Gruel will face off on June 3rd under California's open primary system, in which candidates of all political affiliations compete in a single ballot. The top two vote-getters advance the general election runoff in November. And you know, it seems that the Democrats, no matter what is going on, still think that any seat that they had, if it's being vacated by a Democrat, is going to be replaced by a Democrat. But I think I just lost myself in the chat room here, but I'll get back in there pretty quick, I think, as I try and open it back up again. That was kind of interesting. I pushed the button, and all of a sudden the chat room was gone, and we are just having so much fun on this show today, especially since I wasn't able to do too very much of any advance planning for the show. Okay, I'm back. I'm glad. But we have a lot of people like Ted Cruz who are coming out that are scaring the living bejabbers out of the Democrats, and they don't know how to handle this kind of thing, because the only other time they had to put up with something like this was when Reagan ran for president and just totally took everyone by storm. They didn't learn from that one, and they are not learning from this one either, as they continue to do everything that they can to keep things the way they want them and not the way that it should be. Democrats are, in my mind, a failed bunch who have succeeded in one thing, and that's hoodwinking the American public. But the good part about that is the American public is finally starting to wake up. I hope that it isn't too late. But that's neither here nor there, I guess. We will be right back after these important messages. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let that happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques, outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com, and then click on the LifeLock banner. You will be very glad that you did.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
688 to 90-10-4.
Could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Moulin LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Moulin LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Long time ago when the earth was green, there was more kinds of animals than you've ever seen. They'd run around free when the earth was being born, but the loveliest of them all was the unicorn. It was green alligators and long-necked geese.
From WND comes this one, titled Anger Rising, Obama's an Enemy Combatant. I found this one. I didn't even write down where I found this one, but I found it looking through the internet this morning. Voters in, I think it was on the Blaze Network is when I found it. The voters in Republican Representative Jim Bridenstine's Oklahoma district may look meek and mild, maybe even sweet, but their opinions of President Obama reveal nothing but a battleground, take no prisoners attitude. One lady, for example, said there needs to be changes in the Senate so we can impeach the SOB. Said another, he's not president as far as I'm concerned, should be executed, he's an enemy combatant. She complained that Congress is doing nothing and that allows this moron to make decisions. He has no authority, none. The video was uploaded this week, but it's unclear when the meeting was held, and the congressman's office was unable to provide details immediately. At one point, the congressman references back to April 2013, and it appears to be winter, so it's likely it was recorded in the past few months. The congressman had been documenting Obama's lawlessness. He picks and chooses which laws to enforce and not to enforce. He does it by decree. He uses foreign bodies. He uses the United Nations, Bridenstine said. The Republican lawmaker said as long as Democrats and Harry Reid are in the majority in the Senate, it's very hard for the House GOP to rein in Obama. When a constituent observed that changes in the Senate could open the door for impeachment, only not quite in those words, Bridenstine said, you look so sweet. Commenters on the YouTube page for the video were in agreement with the voters. Great town hall meeting, said one. Frightening, this is small town America, and listen to this very closely, said another. Think it's bad now. This diabolical plan is just ramping up. I wish I could have given those two wonderful ladies a hug, added a third. Think Obama hears this? Does, but he chooses to ignore it as he chooses to ignore everything else. Moving forward, just put a link in the chat room about Obama's origins, I guess. It was, the link is there in the chat room at youtube.com, and Lady Michelle said it's been shared in the chat room, which is actually a good thing. But you know, it's like I said, do you think that Obama hears this? I think he does. I really think he does. But it's just like everything else that goes against him and his policies, he chooses to ignore it because he doesn't think that the policies that are there that are against him are powerful enough to stop him. He thinks that because he was voted in for a second term of office that he has the mandate to do whatever he chooses to do, whether it's constitutional or not. He doesn't care. He was voted into office a second time for a second term, which means that we support everything he's doing, even though if you look at the news, heck, even the liberal news now is starting to show some of this stuff. And I know that Obama sees it, but it's like he said, he chooses to ignore it. And he chooses to ignore it because he feels he is king in his eyes. It doesn't matter. None of this matters if it goes against him. He's king. He's the monarch of this country. He will take care of it, which is one of the reasons that he has to go, period. To get rid of this man, we have to do everything we can to get him out of office. And the sad part about this whole thing is that I've watched this thing about impeachment for several years now, and always you hear something else that comes up behind it that says impeachment will never happen. Obama will never be impeached. Well, I'm still waiting for that shoe to fall on this one, because I've seen this article on Senator Bridenstine going after Obama as an enemy combatant. I've seen the article about the other senator that I just got through talking about from Texas that has filed the articles of impeachment. Now that these things have been done, I'm waiting for that other shoe to fall where we are told that impeachment will never happen. And this time it's taking a little bit longer for that to come out. Maybe it won't, maybe it will. But at least we have some people in Washington and around the states who are starting to think the way they should be. This president that we have right now is not good for this country in any way, shape, or form. Time that we started figuring out a way to get rid of him, or at least stop him so he can't do any more damage while in the White House. And that's the way that we need to start thinking about this here, folks. I'm tired of being considered someone who is against the United States because I don't agree with the president. And that's one of the reasons why I do this show, because I want my word out there, whether many people hear it or not, at least someone does. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design. Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, and that's tomorrow. So I hope you all listen to it. So stay tuned. Stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher tomorrow, Sunday, at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. And also, speaking of the retirement of Henry Waxman, I can say it is about time, but one of another that should retire, Nancy Pelosi. This one also from Newsmax is one titled, "Pelosi, I'm not retiring, my work is not finished." It's time we retired her over her objections, don't you think? Here's what that article says. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi on Thursday denied speculation that she'll be retiring from Congress at the end of this term like Henry Waxman, her ally and fellow California Democrat. Pelosi made it clear that she's seeking a 14th term. 14 terms is too many, for crying out loud. She says, "I'm running," she told the National Journal in a statement. "I've already started the paperwork process. My work is not finished." You mean you haven't destroyed this country enough, woman? Waxman, 74, who was first elected to Congress in 1974, is the second Democrat from the Golden State to announce his retirement this month. Representative George Miller, 68, said last week that he was making this year his last in Congress. He, too, was first elected to the House in 74. Both Waxman and Miller, along with Representative Jim Moran of Virginia, also 68, who announced his retirement 2 days early after Miller did, are close Pelosi allies, the National Journal reports. In fact, Waxman helped Pelosi steer Obamacare through the lower chamber as the chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee in 2009-2010. Remember Pelosi saying, "Oh, we got to pass this in order to find out what's in it." That should have scared everybody away right then and there. The retirements make it even less likely that the Democrats will retake control of the House in November, as the party needs to gain 17 seats from the election, the National Journal reports. I still say that they need to have term limits on these people. Nancy Pelosi is running again. And the scary part about that whole thing is She's saying the her work is not finished yet. She's had 14 terms, or she's had 13 terms. I guess she really doesn't want to stop on the unlucky number 13, but it's kind of been an unlucky 13 years for the United States to have her in there, don't you think? Somebody needs to run against her and put her out of office before she can do any more damage to this country. And that's just where I stand on that. We will be right back for the final segment of the show after these messages.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCS for automation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. And shelter pets make super pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a shelter pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
And finally, we here at New Wise Conservatism Radio Show want to leave you with our weekly thought of the day, which is something that right now, I usually have this all prepared so that I can just go with the flow and do the show so I don't have to do too much thinking while I'm doing the show. But like I said this week earlier, I had to work all 5 days this week, and it took me later on into the afternoon than I normally would need to have, so it didn't give me any time to do my show. Had to do it all this morning, which kind of left me with this final segment here. And I was going to do it on impeachment, should it be done. I, myself, think it should be. But here is the problems that come into this idea of impeaching Obama. We have so many representatives in Washington right now that have absolutely no backbones, and their spines are made out of totally boiled linguine that is squishy and couldn't stand up straight if it wanted to. And if they stood up for impeachment of Obama, the first thing they would be hit with is, you are a racist. Most of the Republicans that I've been watching in Washington, like Boehner and others that follow him, would immediately cave. They don't want to be called racist. They don't want to be called anything but friends of whoever is in charge. And it's like Lady Michelle's in the chat room said, they have spines of jellyfish. That is exactly it. They cannot straighten those spines up to show any fortitude in any way, shape, or form, even if their lives depended on it. I think the only one that has is John McCain, and he actually said a few things that I mentioned in my show last week that showed a little bit of backbone. But the problem with that was is that as soon as that moment was over, he became the jellyfish squishy thing again, and that backbone disappeared. What we need are people who have a backbone, who know how to use it, like Ted Cruz, like Mike Lee of Utah. They will stand up for this country. They will stand up for the Constitution. They will do what is needed to save this nation without any worries about whether their backbone is going to give out at any point in time, because they don't care. They want to save this country, as do, right now, a majority of the people. But we also have a spineless jellyfish person in the White House whose only backbone seems to stand real rigid when it comes to his own policies, no matter what they do to the Constitution. And his bone stand on that one is amazing to behold, really, if you think about it, but it's not amazing to behold in a good way. He told us when he first went into office that we were days from fundamentally changing America. And I've brought this up before. I've brought it up many times. Why didn't someone stand up and say, hey, now wait a minute. Why do we have to fundamentally change this country? We don't. But according to Obama, we do. Obama doesn't like the way this country was founded. He doesn't like the way this country has become great. He doesn't like the things that this country has done to remain great. He thinks that we all need to just, like I said before in the show, go down on our knees and beg forgiveness from anybody, just so long as they're not Americans. I hate the country that this president is trying to make this country. That is not the way it was founded. That is not the way it should be. But I love America, and I will fight hard for her. That is the way it needs to be. That is the way it needs to stand. The Constitution is our saving grace. The Constitution is our guarantee of the liberties that we hold dear. And the problem has been that for the last... been watching the politicians in Washington take those liberties that we hold dear and slowly flush them down the toilet in little bits and pieces so the people really don't notice. They just see, okay, we're doing something for some people here, which is a good thing, but they don't stop to look at what it's doing to the rest of the Constitution. And it's time that we started looking at what that is doing. Our Constitution has been ravaged by this president. Our Constitution has been torn to bits by this president, and he's not done. He's got allies in the Congress and the Senate, like Pelosi, who say that their work is not done. It makes me wonder just what their work really is, because it's not to help this country. It's not to keep this country strong and safe. It's not to keep the American people safe down. That hasn't happened yet. But if we keep electing people like these morons and that we have in office right now, it will happen. And it will happen faster and faster all the time, because they are getting a wind under their wings now. Every time they're elected, they think, okay, we can go just a little faster. Well, they're going almost at breakneck speed now. And the sad part about that is Obama still has somewhere around 40% approval rating. Where does that come from? I'll tell you, comes from the people who are getting all kinds of free things from the government, not stopping to think that the government gets all their money from us. They are implementing Agenda 21, and that is to push forward a bigger government, higher taxes, a government that will sit in your bedroom and tell you what you can do in there. That's where they're going. We have to be afraid, people. We have to be very afraid. On Sundays, we have American by Design with Uncle Bing Fisher. With his engineer's insight and love of America, this show could really bring you some great ideas and ideals for what America is and what America should be. It airs at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, and that's tomorrow. On Monday, we have Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. Dave is a great way to start off the work week with his Veterans Insight and most informative guest to bring you another great show to listen to on Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. Tuesdays, we have two shows, A Just Cause with Sam Thurman and Cliff Stewart at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, and Grit and Grace with Jennifer Meadows. They are both on Tuesdays, and Grit and Grace is on just after A Just Cause at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. On Wednesdays, we have our leader, Duke Brooks, with his show, Radio Free America, and that is always a fun show to listen to. On Thursdays is the Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opalisky, and his expertise on the Constitution will help us to understand what is going on. And on Saturdays, you're treated with my show, New Wise Conservatism Radio, with yours truly, the Infidel, with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world. Sorry about my show being so unprepared today. I hoped I did a good job in doing what I could to keep it going. Don't forget, in the coming events, we have coming for traditional Americans with the Save the Constitution rally. They're coming in a few months, April in Tennessee, and one in June in Dearborn, Michigan. This nation is worth saving, and I hope more and more Americans wake up to that fact that she does need saving. Thank you for listening to my show again, my friends. See you all again next week. And everything is going good for you. Have a great week, and God bless you all. We will be here, hopefully better prepared next week, and I'm glad to see everyone here and hope everyone has a great week. God bless you all.